You're very welcome to the Alison Spittle Show with me, Alison Spittle. This week's show is a mini episode with my good friend Kevin McGahern. He has a show on called The Boxty Monologues in Whelan's on Wednesday, the 30th of May. So please go check that out. I've got my own event on the 14th of June. That's my birthday, thanks to Copperberg in the Camden backyard. Tickets are a tenner, but you get free drinks and you're going to go see me do some comedy. And my special guest that day will be James Kavanagh. So it's going to be a great podcast. I'm going to get another guest as well, and it'll be great crack. The events will be available on Eventbrite, and just go to Copperberg or my social media outlets, and you'll get the information there.
Do you any warm-ups?
No, I'm cool.
The priest was relocated to another parish. I used to say that in Republic when we were warming up.
Really?
The priest was relocated to another parish.
How does a warm-up help when you're doing live TV?
Why they do it like on stage is so that you don't fluff
I should do that.
Yeah, everyone should do it.
Yeah.
It's just getting your mouth ready, going la la, me, 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 ma, fee, 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 fa.
You can bite
Unique
it on a
New
pen.
York.
Unique New York.
See there, you didn't even really say that well.
Do you think so?
Say it again.
Okay, right there. I don't say stuff that well, though. Unique New York.
That's very good.
Thank you.
Can you say red lorry, yellow lorry, very fast?
Okay. Red lorry, yellow lorry.
Almost got hard. Once.
I know. Red lorry, yellow lorry.
You have to do it like 5 or 6 times. Red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, yellow lorry. It's hard. It's hard to do.
Oh my gosh. I'm learning so much, Kevin.
Not really.
I will not take this on in my day-to-day life. It will not happen. Thank you for coming in for this episode of
Thank
the
Alison
Spittle Show. It's a mini one because I want to get you in front of a live audience. You're wasted here.
It's a tapas.
It's a tapas. Yes. It's just because we did like a Repeal the Ave special last week, and it was very sad. It was very tough going. And we're going to do a happier one now.
Yay.
Because the referendum is repeat. Well, it passed. And
it passed. With flying colours. It got a C-. Is that what?
Yeah, I think so, didn't it?
It's like, that's my average in school. I was happy enough with that score.
How many points did you get in the leaving?
Ooh.
I don't know how many.
I honestly can't remember. Yeah. All I remember is it had absolutely no bearing in my life.
No, me neither. I went to Ballyferbet College. Passed at an interview.
There you go.
Bang.
Yeah, the feeling around the town was great the last weekend.
Because really you were out.
I was out. Oh, I was out, baby.
You can be my Dublin correspondent. Because I got very drunk in Dublin Castle and had to leave at about 6. And then I had a nap and I was gone.
That's Spanish style.
Absolutely Spanish style.
It's good. It actually feels like we could make the greatest country in the world.
I agree. It
What's
is a
next?
Beautiful country. Homelessness.
Homelessness.
Direct provision.
I don't even know what that is.
Do you know what direct provision? Oh, it's desperate.
Is it something to do with your driving license?
No. Oh, I wish it was. It's actually very sad.
Oh, really? Okay. This is supposed to be good crack podcast.
Good crack podcast.
Why are you telling me about sad stuff?
I'll let you Google that later.
All right, fair enough. Legalise weed, I think.
Legalise weed.
Tax the balls out of it. Get affordable housing. Get those bloody 6 counties back, baby.
Get them back. get what's it called? Yeah, get the 6 counties back and get, is it Airbnb? Get that out.
Yeah, get it out of the town. Out of the town. Give
out
us some
of
flats.
The towns.
Spill some flats.
Yeah. Accommodation is getting very
what else?
Scarce.
Let's change it back to Marathon.
Marathon from Mars?
From Snickers.
Oh, Snickers.
Snickers used to be Marathon.
Get Joe Dolan back from the dead.
Bring back the den. Bring back Joe Dolan.
Thank you. Yeah, the dentist.
I like
great.
The way you do. Thank you. Like, the people of Mullingar, thank you.
Yeah, they do. They do. He was a good lad.
What would you like to see now? If Alison, this is a real chat show question.
Yeah, but sure, go
if Alison Spittle was running the country.
Yes.
What are, like, don't not serious ones, but like not sort of mad ones. Ones okay. That won't depress me.
Okay. Okay, what would I do? Like crack ones, but semi-serious, or... I'd give out Johnny's for free. That would be a big thing.
Well, like, we still tax them, don't we? Do we tax, I know. Do we tax tampons as well?
We do. Get rid of that.
Yeah.
That's gone.
Like, it's not a luxury.
It is not a luxury.
Because, you know, we have... We listen to you. You don't sound happy at all.
Have you ever had to buy a box of tampons?
I thought you were going
to
say, have you ever had a period? I have had to buy a box of tampons, yeah, a couple of occasions.
Did you feel
I did it
shame?
No, I held my head up high.
Did you?
Because they weren't for me, so I felt no shame at all.
It's the woman that it's should feel the shame.
The woman at home lying in a duvet that feels shameful about this.
When Adam and Eve... had when
you're really going back now.
I am when shit went down, didn't they say that, like, you know, women would feel pain during birth because Eve tempted him of an apple?
Yeah,
were periods included there? Did they acknowledge the badness of periods?
I feel like it was the pain of childbirth was definitely a punishment.
That
we didn't
punishment.
Really get a punishment. I suppose we
oh sure, you look, you're harmless.
We got away handy enough from that one.
You really did.
But I'm not sure. I'm not sure if periods were in that deal as well. Could have been an amendment made after.
Because abortions weren't included in the Bible itself.
I thought there was something, though, in the Bible. There's some lassie got pregnant and an angel came down and she just sort of made the pregnancy go away.
Is that, yeah.
A sort of celestial abortion.
Bridget gave
abortion. Was it Bridget?
Bridget.
Bridget.
Was it Bridget the abortionist?
Oh yeah.
She got Bridget, rid of nuns' pregnancy.
There you go. Mm. Didn't say how she did it though.
No.
There was no instructions.
I think there was I think I talked about this with Tara Flynn last. Sure, let's. Do you know what? We've chatted ourselves out about abortions
now.
Yeah,
we have.
Move on, baby.
Yeah, most of your listeners are no voters, so they'll be like, come on, stop rubbing it in.
I am afraid that I've, like, not destroyed, but, you know, I did a tour of Ireland.
Yeah.
And a few of them, I'd say, were no voters. Yeah. Very nice people, but no voters. Now when I do a tour again, I'm after fecking up my money now.
I was actually going to ask you that question, only you said to move on. Do you think being vocal on certain political issues can harm your career?
Oh, yeah. For sure. What was that?
Sounds like a cow. It's some form of machinery.
Is
I don't
it
think
a trimmer?
But we won't even pick it up on the mics.
Yes, that's true. I don't know. I think it would, but I don't mind that much.
Like, I know there is certain people that have sort of disappeared from sort of TV or radio after they become quite political.
Like John Waters.
God, John Waters. John Waters looks like, you know, like a horror film where, like, all the teenagers arrive at an old petrol station and they're looking for directions. And this lad comes out. He looks, that's John Waters.
That is John Waters.
He's like,
that's
where y'all going? It's like, we're just going up to the old Martian house. And he goes, stay away from the Martian house. Ain't nothing up there but death.
You better not be having abortions.
Then, makes like a little inappropriate comment about one of the girls, and they're like, let's get out of here. Screw you, creepo. And then they drive to their death.
And it's John that's laying it out.
In a way, you know, he was giving them a fair warning.
He was, that's fair enough. I don't know, like, I hope it doesn't affect my career too much. And well, sure, if it does, it does.
I think the fact that it was such a resounding yes, I'd say you'd be all right.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I'm on the right side of history.
On the right side of history.
I tell you, if it was a no, I'd be like, oh no.
But I'm not doing gigs in Donegal.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Donegal as a county vote, yeah.
That's true.
And it was like 33,000 people voted, yeah. I used to take the piss out of Roscommon non-stop because of the Game Irish thing.
They're dancing on the crossroads now.
Oh, Janie Mac, they smashed it out of the park
this
time.
Because the last time they did, speaking as a comedian, Roscommon became the go-to funny county.
I know.
It used to be like Leitrim or Longford. If you wanted to get a
Longford
laugh.
Longford was mine.
Yeah. Just, I went to school in Longford, so. And now then it became Roscommon. I guess now it's Donegal.
Is it Donegal, or do you think people are more like kinder this time?
I think we'll forgive them. Yeah.
They have.
What am I talking about? No, of course, they didn't do anything wrong. But I mean, like, I don't think people are going to be as tough on them as we were in Roscommon.
No, I think Roscommon bore the brunt of it. Now it's done. So sorry, Roscommon.
We apologise to Roscommon.
Yeah. I'm very Donegal. Proud of Westmeath as a county, as in. It has produced such greats, and it's such a small county.
Go on, list them.
Joe Dolan, right?
Well, that was... First of all, that's tattooed on your arm, so that doesn't count.
He is the
you
best.
Always talk about Joe Dolan.
I do too much, I do. Niall Horan.
Yeah, the whoremaster himself. That's what his fans call him.
That's his confirmation. Who else? Okay, Donna and Joe McCall, who represented Ireland in the Eurovision.
What was the song?
Love can make you happy. Love can make you sad. God. Love can make you...
What a bold stance there.
I know. I'd love to. I'm thinking about Eurovision next year now. I really think it's going to be in Israel. And I think there's going to be problems.
Do you reckon, yeah?
I do.
Alison Spittle's hot take in the Middle East. I reckon now there could be trouble there.
There may be trouble. yeah, so, like, I've always wanted to go to Eurovision.
Why don't you enter?
I don't want to. I want to be a person in the crowd. I wouldn't enter in the Eurovision. There's too many. I want Bobby Ahern from No Monster Club, who does the theme tune. He's mad about the Eurovision, and he wants to do the Eurovision. And will they let the lad do the Eurovision?
Let the lad do the Eurovision.
John Waters wrote a song for the Eurovision.
It was something like, "You'll never beat the spring." Something like
yeah,
that, was it?
Or Father's Rights.
People hated it so much, Dustin went the next year. It was like, let's send a badly made puppet in a bin. In a shopping trolley. Like, let's put absolutely minus effort into this one.
The staging was very bad.
It was so hilariously bad. It was
so
like something
bad.
You'd see at Score.
It was something you'd see. I loved Score when I was a young one.
Should we explain Score to your listeners if they don't know?
Yeah, because a lot of people in Ireland don't know what the Score is.
It's like if
it's an album
Ireland's
by the
Got
Fugees.
Talent. If Ireland's Got Talent was made by the GAA. And,
that's exactly
and the church.
It.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that is. That's very good.
I was at Score 1 year. So they have stuff like ballad singing, traditional Irish ballad singing, traditional Irish dancing.
Yeah.
Everything's traditional Irish.
Yeah.
Solo singing, blah, blah. And then they have...
The quiz?
The skit.
Oh, the skit. Yes, the
now,
sketches.
The
yes.
sketches. Every townland does a sketch. I was there 1 year. And it was like, now we'll have the skit from Ballymaloolie.
Yeah.
And two men go on the stage. One of them is slightly older. So they play a father and a son who, like, I'm not sure, has sort of developmental issues. The son is played by a 38-year-old man.
Right.
But he's, like, acting like a 5-year-old, I think.
Okay, okay.
And he's, like, he's basically got the propeller hats on, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And
comedy.
The mother, it was written, I'd say, in 1948 by Eamon De Valera. The mother comes out and goes, right now, I'm going down to the shops for the day. Now, you're to put on the chicken in the oven. And he's like, what would I know about putting on a chicken in the oven? She goes, don't worry. There's a program on the radio telling you exactly how to prepare it. He's like, right, so that's convenient. So she heads off and they leave the stage. And the radio says, the program, Mary's Housing Tips, about how to prepare a chicken will not be aired today. Instead, in its place, the program, How to Wash a Baby.
How to wash a baby.
And change a baby's nappy, I think it was. How to change a baby's nappy will be coming on in its place.
Right.
So you can see where this is going.
Yes.
The two idiots come back onto the stage and they prepare a chicken by listening to the instructions of how to change a baby's nappy. So they're washing the chicken, they're covering baby powder, putting a nappy on the chicken.
Do they ever question it? Do they ever go, oh, I'm not sure, but I will anyway? Or
they do, yeah.
Okay,
they do.
Good. That's good.
Like, yeah, your comedy mind is working there. You're thinking, what would I write here? And you'd be right. They do say stuff like, oh, this is a bit weird. I didn't think you put on baby powder on a chicken. So the mother comes home and there's a nappy on the chicken.
Right.
And, you know, the curtains close. And yeah. So they leave the stage. And, you know, I got a few laughs. They leave the stage.
There's a baby in the oven. She's like, what have you done to the baby?
It would have been worse if it went the opposite way.
Yeah.
The next group come up and he said, and now from Balinya, we will have their skit. They come on and they do the exact same skit.
No.
Yeah, and it was less funny.
Oh, no.
It was amazing to watch. It was like some sort of Dadaist art piece.
Oh my gosh. I've written a few Scorn and Og sketches.
No way.
Yeah.
I've always wondered who wrote those.
My sisters wanted to enter it one year and I was starting to do comedy at the time and the woman Rose, Jesus, what's her second name? I don't think it's McCabe. I think that's a person in Dublin. It's a Rosemary.
Morris McCabe.
Yeah. Morris, he's from Westmead. Westmead is great.
Is that the old whistleblower?
Yeah, that's the whistleblower.
Fair play.
We got the best. We got the best. I wrote a sketch for my sisters and it was all actually about the Eurovision.
You're obsessed.
I am obsessed, yeah.
Did the sketch get used?
It did. It got used and it got to the finals of the Westmead.
Good response.
Did another one the next year.
Do you remember some of the jokes from it, no?
I do. So my sister Billy, who's now 16, she would have been about 9 at the time, I'd say.
Way.
Young one.
Yeah.
She dressed up as Johnny Logan and I used a lot of like lip syncs. So it was a very technical play. A lot could have went wrong. I had a CD with all the bits of the songs ready and a poor young 12-year-old with a shaky hand going over the play.
Over the pause button.
Yeah. And I was like, don't fuck this up. So I got my sister to dress up as Johnny Logan. She would come in and do a big... to be honest with you now, it wasn't really jokes. It was more like inappropriate times where someone would come in and sing a song.
Right.
But it was about... they didn't want to enter Jedward in again this year. So they were trying to find some older Eurovision people. I made Linda Martin into a caricature, which now I look back and now I go, maybe a sexist trope of mine. But I made her into like quite a desperate woman.
Oh, wow. That's a bit of a stretch for that character.
It was quite...
You're lucky you could get sued for slander there, Alison.
I made her beg.
You made her beg?
Yeah. It was quite sad. As a part of the Camden Backyard event, I am doing a special episode of the Alison Spittle Show. It's on my birthday. That's the 14th of June. That's the same day as Donald Trump. I'm going to be there. It's going to be a load of crack. There's going to be free drink and everything for my birthday. I'm very excited. And tickets are a tenner. So you can get them on Eventbrite. We'll set up a link and look at my Twitter and go to copperberg.ie for more information. Thank you very much to Copperberg who sponsored the show this week. They are very good. It's very warm lately. Go have yourself a Copperberg. That's the message brought to you by Alison Spittle on behalf of Copperberg. Great new flavours, Swedish cider, drink responsibly. Bang.
What do you think are the, if you were to scientifically create the number one, like a number one surefire winner for the Eurovision, what are the elements that keep winning, that keep coming up again?
Cyprus nearly won it this year and they genuinely have a very good pop song.
Okay.
So.
Is there certain lyrics that you're like?
Very simple English lyrics.
Very simple English. Okay, that's the first one.
Yeah. Simple English. Not controversial.
Okay.
Not asking for anything. Maybe a lot of similes.
Okay.
Like, I'm not... what was it called? Is it called I'm Not Your Toy? That one this year?
Right.
Israel. And she... I watched Israel this year and they used quite a lot of, like, Asian tropes.
How do you mean?
There's, like... Do you know those cats that go like that?
Oh, yeah.
And she was dressed in a kimono. Hold on a
second. This is a podcast, so you're going to have to describe... It's a cat who's basically doing a high five these in Chinese
five.
Restaurants.
Yeah.
A golden cat.
And the lady was wearing a kimono, and it just felt a bit weird for this year.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
With the whole cultural appropriation
thing. With the whole cultural appropriation thing.
Ricky Gervais made a good point, and I don't really like him normally, but he was saying, like, what people call cultural appropriation now...
Yeah.
That used to, like, actually be a sort of a worship. It used to be the opposite of racist. It was like David Bowie would come out in the 70s and he would have some outfit that he saw in China.
Yeah.
And people would call him a genius.
Yeah.
And fair play for introducing other cultures to your boring culture. Whereas now it's very much a no-no, isn't it?
Yeah, I can see. I can see why.
Mm.
It's like I feel a bit weird about like Post Malone, who's this white man. And
is his name based on Pog Mahone?
No, unfortunately, it's like some sort of like reference to a basketball player.
Post Malone sounds like a drunken postman from Ballamore.
You should, do you want to Google him and have a look at what he looks like?
Okay.
He honestly is the epitome of someone who would ask you for like roaches in a pub smoking area.
Post Malone.
Post Malone.
Oh, Post Malone. Sorry.
Malone.
And what's his job?
He's like, do you see him there?
No, I'm waiting to. I was in airplane mode. Sorry.
You're very professional.
Thank you. Okay, folks. I'm Googling Post Malone. I can't even. American rapper. Oh, right. He looks like Shia LaBeouf if he never made any money.
Yes, he does, doesn't he?
God, yeah. He's got sort of bad dreadlocks.
Yeah.
He's got a sort of prison tattoos.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's barbed wire on his hairline, which, as cool as it looks now, folks, when he starts losing that hair, it's just going to be a stark reminder of how young he used to be.
It will. It would be like, he'll be like a milk jug in a shared flat where,
He looks like he was kicked out of Corn.
He does. He does.
Like, for looking too much of a bollocks. Like.
But he's quite successful, and his music, it sounds very, sounds very black, and it feels like it feels a bit weird.
It feels weird, definitely, when they try to do like a black accent.
Yeah. It is so weird.
Even like the term black accent is probably offensive. But you know what I mean? Like if somebody's trying to imitate.
Yeah.
Different race, it always sounds strange.
In the mid 2000s, where I look back at my secondary school, we were obsessed with Mr. T. And it would always be impersonating Mr. T.
In the mid-2000s.
In the mid-2000s, because he did a Snickers ad.
Oh, right. I thought like A-Team had just arrived at Mullingar. Have you seen that new programme?
It was him and Barry Scott. Do you remember like...
Yes.
Bang and the Dirt is Gone?
Yeah.
Before memes were widely available, we just used to
watch advertise. You had to print out memes and bring them in.
And bring them into the school.
I had my meme book.
I remember, you know Pete Wentz out of Fall Out Boy?
Oh God, yeah.
He showed his penis off to a person in a picture, and He showed it off, and we went to the computer studies and we googled Pete Wentz's penis.
And that's why we don't have any more computers in the school.
Well, it was a very communal. Let's have a look at this now. What were we talking about before?
We're talking about Eurovision tropes. What always wins?
It's a. It has to sound a bit like Avicii, I think, or something.
Okay.
And it has to have something a tiny bit quirky but non-controversial with the lyrics and great dancers and a great show.
They're nearly always about love, are they?
Nearly always about love, yeah. What's your favourite Irish Eurovision entry?
I don't know. I don't know what I have one.
I'm
not a big fan
of
Eurovision.
You seem to be like a rock and roll kids man or no.
I'm a fan of rock and roll.
Ooh.
I don't like songs about rock and roll.
No.
Because they're never rock and roll. Like,
that's very
we
true.
Are the rock and roll kids, it sounds like a hymn to me. Rock and roll was all we did.
And we never
But we rarely now. We rarely seem to rock and roll anymore.
Not since they've had the kids.
Yeah, that's what happens. You just have kids and you don't go to Fibbers anymore.
That's true. You go to Fibbers a lot.
That's my local, yeah. Well, I have to travel a bit to get there, but...
That is your home.
That's my home. It's like, Fibbers is like going back into 1992.
How so?
Do you remember, like, when we were growing up, there seemed to be more different types of groups?
Yes.
Young people they were split into a lot of groups. You had, like, rockers and dance kids and goths and emos and... Seems like there was a lot of gangs and different types, and now teenagers all just seem very cool and fit.
They do.
They're all just fit fuckers,
and
they drink gin. They don't drink pints, and
they vape as well.
They vape and they do coke. It's just I can't.
They
relate.
Do coke.
Yeah, yeah. It's the young ones now. Yeah, you haven't a clue.
I don't.
But I don't know. That's why I like.
I feel like you're Philip Boucher Hayes.
I like. I did a documentary there where I dressed up as a child. I was able to get coke in a play school. I like Fibbers because it's like all those gangs still exist, you know? And sometimes you get, like, you know, Chinese businessmen playing pool.
Wow.
It's a nice, diverse pub, you know?
That is a diverse pub. Mm. And you've got this new comedy show called The Boxty Diaries, is it?
Boxty Monologues, yes.
Monologues.
Wednesday. Well, this is probably going to go out.
Probably tomorrow. So, tomorrow.
Today is Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is Wednesday. Kevin's news for the day is Kevin has a show on in Whelan's.
Whelan's.
9 o'clock. Supported by Shane Clifford from Shane's Brilliant Page.
Oh, he's very good.
He's very, very good.
Where did you discover Shane?
Well, first of all, on Facebook, I think. Mm. And then he started doing comedy and I started chatting to him and thought he was very, very funny. Mm. So it's going to be a night of grit crack and hilarity.
What bits are you working on at the moment? Let's do comedian shop talk.
Okay, armpit story.
Uh-huh.
Robot love. My first joke. I'm just giving you the headlines of what I will write in my hand.
Have you got your... is this your joke book in front
of
you?
This is my joke book, yeah. My big red joke book. Abortion, terrorism, slain girl, Galway girl, mugging, Star Wars and drink driving.
Slain girl,
yeah.
Oh,
you'll have to go and see.
I will have to go and see. I'm excited
what
now.
What angle is it going to take?
I don't know and I can't judge yet.
Yeah, cool. It's a clumsy attempt to come on the side of the women. Probably offensive to everybody.
Sure, isn't that comedy? That's good. So that'd be good fun. And what are you doing after that then?
Kilkenny, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Are you coming down to Kilkenny?
I am coming down to Kilkenny. What are you doing in Kilkenny?
I'm not exactly sure. I have it written down somewhere.
I'm going to have a look at mine as well. We should promote it
as right. Let me see. Okay. 2nd and 3rd of June in The Cat Laughs. Who am I on with? I can't remember, but like there's loads of great ones. You should go down to it. Reginald Hunter, Ashley B, Jason Byrne, Rory Scoville, Sarah Pascoe, Maeve Higgins, Blind Boy, Rich Hall, Second Captains, Tony Cantwell, Improv All Stars, Tara Flynn.
Oh my gosh.
There's, what do you call those hilarious dudes who remake films?
Dream Gun,
yeah.
I'm really excited about Dream Gun.
So am I. So get your ass down to Kilkenny. It'll be sunny as a bastard.
I'll tell you what I'm doing.
You can walk around pubs with hurley sticks and people just think you're into sports.
You can yes, it's like
just the bait your way to the front of the queue.
Bait. So I'm on Thursday opening gala, Friday 6 PM Ormond Kilbride, 3:30 PM on Saturday 2nd of June Adam Hills, then 4 PM Dream Gun, 6 PM Reductress stand up, 7:30 Ormond Kilbride, then Monday I'm on Reductress Mouth Time at 6 PM.
All right. Well, I'm doing a lot less gigs than that.
I'm sorry for. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I'm so sorry. It's just because I'm a woman. There's less of us to go around, and we have to like.
There's never been a worse time to be a straight white man.
But thank you for being a good ally.
So. Thanks very much. I'll stick by. What have I got to lose? Come here. I was wondering if.
Yeah.
If I could sort of storm out of this podcast, John Waters style, because I think it did a lot for Eamon Dunphy's.
Do you think we could recreate that?
Yeah, like if you ask me a question,
okay,
and I'm gonna like refuse to answer and just sort of push me a bit on it.
Okay. So what do you think of the morning after pill, Kevin? What's your?
Well, I'm not really here to talk about the morning after pill, Alison. You told me I was going to come in here. I was going to promote my show. That's my intention. I have no intention of.
But no, Kevin, it's just I'm trying to understand where you think life begins.
Alison, listen. We've got probably 30 seconds left, right? And I'd like to promote my show, okay?
But Kevin, I am on your side.
No,
I'm on your side,
no, that's
Kevin.
It. No, you know what? Fuck off. You're a fucking bollocks.
What?
You're a fucking bollocks. Fuck off. You're a big hairy pair of bollocks.
Ah, Kevin!
No, that's it, Alison. No, you promised me a fair interview. You promised me a fair interview. No.
Ah, Kevin. Ah, no. Kevin. I'm on your side, no. Kevin.
Fuck off and talk to Unamalali.
He's gone. So that was the Alison Spill Show. Thank you so much for joining me. This was a mini episode with Kevin McGarren. It was a great crack. Thanks as always to Sarah Garvey. Thank you very much to Bobby Ahern from No Monster Club, who did the theme tune, William Conway, who did the artwork, and Alan Bennett, who looks after head stuff. If you're looking for some comedy, please come to the Kilkenny Cat Laughs Festival. It's on this weekend. It's going to be a lot of crack. And Also, please come along to my birthday special. It's a birthday, 14th of June, same birthday as Donald Trump, which is shite. And Copperberg are throwing me a lovely party. And my guest for that show will be James Kavanagh, who is a gas crack. And you can go to Eventbrite to get some tickets. Yeah, thank you very much and have a great day. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.